Mustachio. He gets his clothes, yo, from Dimmies and Foggio.
You know you're big when they're singing songs about you. A bit of Dimmies and Foggio's activity there for the great Robert Dippy Domenico, who joins us on The Breakfast Club. Dipper, good morning.
Good morning, Hard. I've spoken to you or seen you for a long time, mate. Congratulations on what you're doing. And, nice to be on. A bit early, but nice to be on.
What time are you normally getting up these days, Dip?
Well, if I was going to my boxing classes, it would be 5:30 in the morning. But lately, I've just... Well, I've been... I'm a creature of habit, so I get up about 6:30, 7 o'clock, you know. It's all right. It's all good.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Not much to do at the moment because in the field that I'm in, obviously a lot of things are shut down and waiting for those crowds to come back, but keep myself pretty busy.
Well, you're always busy. It's one thing I've learned about you in my time at the Hawks and beyond, that you're a very busy man. So we do appreciate your time on a Thursday morning. And we've got you on today, Dip, as the catch, as the hook. On this day, 1985, Hawthorn played round one of the Foster's Cup against Port Adelaide over in Adelaide in front of 3,165 people. Now, I don't expect you to remember too much about the game, but it gives us a chance to talk to you. But just those Foster's Cups and those Escort Cups midweek, how did you cope playing those midweek games back in those days?
We actually loved it because, we were all machines ready to play footy and we'd play on a Saturday. And then the one thing about Gingy and Hawthorn, we always fielded a very strong side.
Yep.
If we're going to play, we're going to play to win. I think we ended up winning, in my time there, about five premierships as well. So four or five premierships, those night premierships. But those, for us, they were part of our... a part of what we're doing at Hawthorn. We wanted to play. I love Waverley, 300 people. How good's that? Cold, miserable, hail, rain. But what I loved about it, Harp, was the fact that we had a chance to play against some really good football teams from, West Australia and all, of course, yeah. Adelaide. And Port Adelaide was a very strong side. If I remember right, in that side there, that it would be Bradley and, some of the names that we know now that played at VFL and AFL.
Well, Dwayne Russell that night, Dipper, kicked seven for Port Adelaide and Dermot kicked seven for the Hawks.
Wow.
I can tell you. So they were great days and they were great opportunities for fans to see the best against the best from all the state-based competitions as they were back then. The final score, you defeated them by, what did you get, by 19 points or whatever it might have been for the Mighty Hawks there. But Sheeds was talking yesterday, Dipper, about this coronavirus situation, what we do. To try and get more games in and get more interest and money back in the game and playing five or six midweek games like they did back in the Escort Cup. Do you think that could work these days or not?
Oh, gee, these players, they're ultra machines, aren't they? I mean, they've got some really tight hamstrings, these boys, so I'm not quite sure if they could play two or three games in a week because, the way the game is played today at the fast pace and I'm not quite sure if they can do it, Hart, to tell the truth, because even our game was a little bit slower at the time, but the skill level was certainly there and the hits were certainly there as well. But we played on bigger ground. Like Waverley was obviously the main ground that to play the night games, and you had a bit of space. It's a really interesting concept about, and we want our footy to come back, but we've also got to protect our players as well.
Dipper, when we go back and look at your career, one of the things that stands out to me, this is Adam here, how are you going?
Oh, g'day, Adam.
One of the things that stands out is the amount of reserves footy you played before you got a regular game. And that happened to quite a few people through that period in the 70s and 80s. Did you ever give up hope that you could be the player that you became, or were you always confident in your ability?
Well, who knew I was going to be a legend, Adam? I mean, look, I played 99 reserve games. Okay, now I hear that some coaches now want the draft the number now to come up to what 20 years of age, and I think it's a good concept because at 18 when you get drafted these days, you become a professional footballer even before the 18, and all you're worried is about to become that professional footballer. And we've had some beautiful players turn around. But back in our day, we had to go to the under-19s and play reserves football and you get the phone call that you're going to be in the seniors, and it was really exciting. I went to Hawthorn about 16 and a half, 17 years of age. I played my first game in 1975, within about 10 weeks of being at the club against Fitzroy Junction Oval, and then I didn't play for 2 years. So I remember Lee Matthews was actually, you're going to love this one. I remember Lee Matthews was actually not playing the day that I played because, and I took his spot. How good is that? Lee Matthews was sick. In comes a young Robert, if you have the Medicaid, 19th man. I came on and had a couple of touches and enjoyed it. But John Kennedy at the time was my coach, and then David Parkin took over. I spent 2 years, Adam, in the reserves. And then from 1978 onwards, I ended up playing my career, but also played those reserve games, one because of bad form, two because of injuries or suspensions coming back to the reserves. But, yeah, it was part of life, Adam.
So in that situation, did you improve as a footballer through the reserves, or was it more about just needing an opportunity? Because Hawthorn was obviously so strong through the 70s as well as the 80s.
That's right. I mean, in 1975, when I rocked up with Rodney Eade and Ian Payton, we had a great side, because in 76 they ended up winning the premiership, of course, and 2 years later, I ended up playing in my first premiership in 1978. So I improved. There's no doubt about it. I wasn't a natural footballer. I could run all day. I was a big fella. They put me on a wing and sort of changed that position for a little while, because most of the wingmen back in those days were quick and fast. But one thing I could do was run all day and tackle, of course. And then in the 80s, the way that we trained, I got better and stronger. I remember that I was going around the club at 84, 85. I've got, two premierships under my belt, a couple of night premierships, and I'm walking down the hallway half, the Glenfrey Oval, towards, from the weight room to the locker room. And Lee Matthews stopped me, and he said, you know what? Oh, hang on. You know what? you know what? You're going to be, you're going all right at the moment. I said, Lee, I got best on ground last week. I'm going all right. I'm sort of second best of first in 1984 at the Hawks. He goes, you won't play your best football, Adam, until 28. I'm going, oh, yeah, whatever. And then in 1986, I won a Brownlow, won a premiership, won the night premiership, Victorian state team, All Australian. It's amazing, isn't it? Really. So it took time. Hawthorn had players like Michael Tuck, Chris Langford, all these great players have come through the reserves.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a rock-solid system back then in the old days, Dip. It's a bit different these days.
But you had to play well. I mean, you had to play well to get noticed. But also, it wasn't selfish. It was like team-orientated, making sure you're the leader. Because most of the guys went from seniors, or like myself, I would either captain the reserves or something like that, So you wanted to make sure that you were a leader as well as playing well.
How often did you get sent to Brumby Hill?
I got sent a few times, mate. Have a look at that, 99 reserve games. Peter Swap played 100 games. We've had a great career there with so many Hawthorn players that have had so much success. But the superstars like Dermy, I think he had about 10 games, and Dunstall didn't have any at all, and Johnny Platt none at all, and Buccanara none at all. Oh, no, Bucky played a grand final reserves, whatever. But, Peter Carlin would have played 30, 40, 50 games, Chris Whitman and, all these great players.
You mentioned Jason there. That game against Port Adelaide, we're talking about the Foster's Cup. It was his second appearance for Hawthorn. He made his VFL debut 8 days before against Melbourne in 85. What did you think about Jason when you first saw him? Did you think he was going to ever be the player that we saw, the champion that we saw?
No way. Absolutely no way. Lazy. And I remember when he came from Queensland, right? He was one of our first players that we got drafted from Queensland, right?
Yep.
And he would go to uni, or supposed to be going to uni, but he would lay in bed and watch TV all day, right, and read books and whatever. You know what Jason's like? He likes his own company.
Yes.
And And the thing is, too, he doesn't like people that much, as you know, right? So he'll be laid in bed, he'll be circling what's going to watch on TV, and, you know, and then he'd come to training, and yeah, he wouldn't move fast. He wasn't the healthiest person going around. You know, like here we are doing sprints, he'd always come in second last or whatever. Typical full forward, as we all know. And then I remember we were just playing kick-to-kick, you know, get to know him, and he was inside the circle, and the square at Glenfrey Oval, and put this torpedo, and it went post-high. And I thought, yeah, this kid can kick a ball, you know? Yeah. And then he became one of our greatest players of all time, you know? But it took him a while, but...
It took him a while. Didn't take you too long.
It was like Jarman. When Darren Jarman comes to the club, Alan Joyce said, okay, I want you to look after this kid. And I said, yeah, no worries at all. So, g'day, Dad, Dipper. I know all about you, whatever. Play state football again. Said, da-da-da. I said, well, today we're doing the Q Boulevard, which is like 16.5 Ks. He goes, no, I don't run. I said, what? I said, well, you're the Q Boulevard. Anyway, day after day, as you know, we used to do 5 weeks of just pure hard running and training and all that sort of stuff before the balls came out. I said to Joyce, I said, look, this kid, I don't know if he's going to make it or not, but he doesn't want to run. He doesn't want to do sprints. I'm hanging in with him, right? I'm normally up the front of the group, but doing the right thing. Anyway, when the balls came out, he hit the players with left foot and right foot. It was about 10 kicks in a row. And I said to Joyce, he doesn't have to run. Just give him the ball. And what a player he became, eh?
What a star, Darren Jarman, not only for the Hawks, but
players
for
back in the day. We all had our skills, you know. Have I met the perfect player? No.
Who's closest?
Oh, who's closest? I think of Michael Tuxer. Like, he's amazing. Like, he played for 39. He can run 400 metres as an Olympian, right? He's a plumber during the day. He tackled hard. He ran all day. He was competitive. He could kick a ball, very skillful. Loved the goal. Tucky was amazing.
Well, that's good to hear. Tucky gets some love. And you won in that night grand final series, the Escort series in 85, you were best on ground in the grand final, Dipper. You beat Essendon in that final, which was nice, always nice. And you didn't win a Michael Tuck medal. You won a portable cassette recorder, Dipper. Was that one of the best things you ever won?
I had a great selection of cassettes. Right? And I remember this one. This is something I do remember. It reminded me of back of the old boombox, you know, where the guys used to put on their shoulders.
Yeah.
One of the best things I ever won in night football was a car.
A car?
Yeah, the best player, the best player of the night series won a car. I think I won a car that year. The year after 1986, I won a car for the best player in the night series. I won a car in Japan when we won when we played over there, and I won a car for the Brownlow.
You won three cars in a year.
I won three cars in 1 year, I used to say to the boys, anyone want a lift at the airport? Like, I have to get the chauffeur to drive them in. And they're all Nissan Skylines. Remember the old Nissan Skylines? Because Nissan was a great support of... it was one of those years. But, great memories. I remember one time we were playing against Western Australia, playing against East Fremantle. Brian Peake was one of the great players at East Fremantle. And the fog at Waverley was so dense that I was playing halfback, flankback in those days on him, and we were just waiting. All of a sudden, out of the fog, out of the cloud, will be the footy, will be yellow footy. It'll be me and him in the on the halfback line fighting for the ball. Would there be no one around us? We'll go, where is everybody? You know, That was Waverley for you, and Waverley was that deep, the ground like mud and whatever, because it wasn't the Waverley we know today. I remember Tony Lockett having me by the throat one day, and he threw a punch, and his fist went in about 5 inches into the mud. It got stuck, which allowed me to get away. he couldn't get it out. Some funny times. And the lights went out one time. Remember the night footy?
Yes.
All were behind. We're playing Claremont, I think, that night, and the lights went out. And the sprinklers came on. Everyone thought that someone the lights out and put the sprinklers on so Hawthorn could get up and win that game.
Hey, Dipper, when you look back on your career, the rivalries sort of stick out, obviously against Essendon in the 80s, you know, North Melbourne in the 70s. What was the one team that you liked to play against the most?
The Bombers. Loved the competition. Wasn't hate, but it was just fierce competition. I knew I was playing against either Timmy Watson or Merv Nagel, and you know there was Terry Danaher and Simon Madden, and you know our boys really wanted to play well against the guys, and they were really tough, hard football. And Gingy and Sheedy had you know, no love between them, it was just great footy. If we wanted to play two games a year, that was the two games I wanted to play for sure.
Well, you used to play them pretty well, Dip. A fabulous career, of course, culminating with that Brownlow medal. But 240 games, a pretty good career. Five flags as well with the Mighty Hawks. And a legend of the competition, as everyone is aware. And absolutely great to have a chat to you on a Thursday morning, mate. Nice to spend some time.
Yeah, good on you, Haas and Alan. Thank you so much. Anyway, I'm going to go back to bed now. I'm isolating.
Yes, you're very important to isolate. Very important. How did you go? You'd be bouncing off the walls, wouldn't you, isolating?
Oh, no, we'd be bouncing off the walls, all right. But no, all good. But everyone keeps safe out there, and you know, we'll get through all this, and hopefully we get our great game back.
You're a good man, Dip. Appreciate it, buddy. Take care.
See you, guys.